Hello, everyone. I'm so glad you're here. We're going to get into the Word of God in just a minute. But it's time to prepare our hearts, knowing that our Father God, His presence abounds in this very place because we come with a heart ready to give our best. We worship Him from deep within our hearts, our souls, our spirits, and God, He's delighted. So why don't we welcome Him? Let's start off with a word of prayer. Let's bow our heads and bow our hearts. Let's come before our Lord God and King. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for this most awesome day. We rejoice knowing, Lord, it's such a privilege that we are here. Because, Lord, whatever struggle we are going through in life, Father, we know through your word there is power. As we choose to live your word, we know, Lord, whatever storms may come, Lord, you will lift us up. You will strengthen us, and we know we have the victory. We always have the victory because we belong to you. And I just pray right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, as our hearts are surrendered to you, I pray you will speak mightily through me, Father, because we know this time is not about us. It's all about you. It's your word that we desire. It's your presence that we delight in. So, Lord, this time is in your hands. We give it all to you now. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray all these things. And everyone says,
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I hope you guys had an awesome Thanksgiving. I got to tell you, it was good. This past Thursday, you know, went to my brother-in-law's house, and just like every Thanksgiving, right, you have a feast. And it seems like you got to eat a lot, you know, on this day, because if you don't, it seems like it's just not right, you know. And, you know, I tell you, I got home Thursday night. I was so tired. Man, because I was lethargic. I think I had a lot of turkey that night. And I just plopped myself on my bed. I was like more than just a little sleepy. And I just said, I'm just going to crash out because I stuffed my face all night. Yeah. So I turned on the TV with the remote, and it was on the TLC channel. And it turns out they were having a marathon night. They were playing reruns of this show called Undercover Boss. You guys heard of that show before?
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's a show about different bosses of different companies going undercover with a disguise as another employee of the company. And, you know, they had companies like Subway, Ross's, and all that. And in the boss's quest to discover what makes his company tick, he finds the truth about what his employees really think about his company. And, you know, some of the workers he discovered are really hard workers. And they think so highly of the company. They want to say nice things. Oh, this company is the best. You know, I think I'm going to stay around for a long, long time. But you know what? He also found there are a lot of slackers, total slackers, right? That have a bad attitude about the company. And they were saying such bad things, you know? Yeah, management, they stink. You know, this company is going to go downhill. It's going to get worse. And, you know, you hear these things and all these different workers. And, you know, towards the end of the show, the boss reveals his identity to the employees. And they're shocked. They really disguise him really well, you know? And they're either rewarded for their efforts and dedication, or they are reprimanded for their bad attitude and their actions. And in some cases, they're let go. Say, we cannot let you continue on the job because they discovered, oh, they were doing some really bad things. So, you know, I ended up watching like 4 or 5 episodes, you know, because I was too tired to even get the remote to turn it off. So I just let it go. We're just running, me and Johnny, we're just kind of watching it. And you know, there were episodes on Netflix that I kind of watched too before. But I got to tell you, I was so deeply moved by the compassion and leadership style of some of these bosses. And, you know, some of them were Christians. And I must say, they represented Christ well, the ones that were Christians. I mean, they were open. They were bold about talking about God. And in decisions that they made for the company, you can tell there was a tone that was set in the atmosphere. People came to work, and you could tell this was truly a Christian business. And, you know, being a leader of this church, as God has called me to be, you know, I look upon it as a mission from God. Both Johnny and I, we know this is a mission from the Lord. And we are to shepherd this church well, knowing that when he can do it, through his power, through his mercy, through his grace. And you know, we are to help people on their quest for God, help them draw closer to God through the word of God, through experiencing the presence of God. And you know, it's such a delight for us to know that we were called to do this. And we just look forward to every Wednesday, Saturday, Sunday when we can come together and we worship the Lord in unison. That's what it's about, because you know the presence of God abounds when two or more are gathered in His name. But anyway, you know, after watching the show, I decided I want to look deeper to what the Bible says about being a godly leader. Because, you know, whether you know it or not, we are all called to be leaders. You know, because it's good, right? We got to have followers. In order to have an effective organization, you know, got to have leaders and followers. But just imagine, what if everyone says, oh, I'm just going to stay a follower? What would happen? There'd be no leaders. No one would take the lead, and everyone says, oh, I'm looking for the boss. I'm looking for the leader. I'm looking for the pastor. I'm looking for the elder. And no one's to be found, right? People have to step up as the Holy Spirit leads. And you say, Lord, I'll be the one. I'll take the lead. And I'm not just talking about an organization, you know, whether it be a church or a business. I'm talking about your family. I'm talking about the workplace, community, and even in the church. There are times we got to rise up and say, Lord, I'm going to be that leader. I want to be the one to take charge. Because sometimes the Holy Spirit will say, yeah, I choose you. We got to go. Because when you take this very road, this lead as a leader, and we follow the biblical principles according to what the Bible tells us, I don't think you have to worry about whether or not people will follow you. If you do it God's way, if you do it according to what the Bible tells us, you know you're going to experience the very fact that people are going to listen to you. People are going to say, okay, show me what I need to do. And you know what? That's why this sermon is not about undercover bosses, but about, look at the title, exposed godly leaders. So, you know, the opposite of undercover is exposed, right? We're going to expose what a godly leader is. Because you know what? We're all called to be leaders. Amen? Amen. We're all called to take on that role as Lord. The Lord shows us that we're to take the lead. So here's the question. What does the Bible say are the characteristics of a godly leader? What are the characteristics of a godly leader? Number one, it says godly leaders possess great faith. You got to have faith. Faith in who? In Jesus, in God. And we must have a faith that is unshakable. If you want to be a great leader, you got to have a faith that is firm and stands like a mountain. Even violent earthquakes come, you're standing steady. You're not going to be shaken because you know your God is with you. And you know, a good example of this comes from one of the greatest leaders of the Bible. His name is David. Look in your notes, Acts 2:25. It says, for David says concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face. This is what he says. He's always right there. For he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. Therefore, my heart rejoiced and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope. He will not be shaken. And you got to ask yourself, when troubles have come in your life, did you start pacing around? Oh, what am I going to do? Oh. Or do you stand firm? Say, Lord, speak to me. Show me, Lord, because I'm confused. I don't know what. You got to stand firm. And you got to let the Lord speak into your life. Because it says here, he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. The very fact that David says he's at my right hand, you got to understand, he was a king. But you know what? A lot of times he would go and fight in these wars. And he had to draw his sword on the right side of his hip. That's where his sword was put. And he had to draw it and he had to defeat the enemy. So he knew the only way he could do this, he couldn't do this on his own strength. Even when he slayed the giant Goliath, he knew that God's hand was upon his hand. That he would slay that giant because God was with him. And the same thing with what he says here. He knows he's going to go into battle, but the only way he can win is through the power of God. That's the only way. There's no other way. You got to believe your victories that you have in your life is not from your own strength. It's from the very power of God. And if you believe this with your whole heart, you're going to experience more victories. You're going to experience more of God's power in your life. Because that's how God wants it. Because David knew in his heart that God would never let him down. That God would always provide for his every need to attain victory in his life. And you can only imagine. That's why Jesus, he got a little bit frustrated when his disciples were lacking faith, because there were a lot of situations where his disciples didn't rise up in faith when the opportunities were there, when they could let their faith shine. No, they cowered. They started losing faith. And Jesus, he often used the phrase, you probably heard it, you of what? Little faith. When he was speaking to them of this matter. And you look in your notes here, when his disciples started to worry a little bit, this is what it says in Matthew 6, 30 to 32. He says there, if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? What does he say there? You of little faith. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. And if you know that your Father God cares about you, that he will provide for your every need, don't worry about it. But you move as the Holy Spirit moves you. And God, he will see to it. Your every need will be provided for. Amen?
Amen.
And another situation here is when Jesus was in the back of the boat. What was he doing? Remember when that storm came, that boat? All the disciples were in there? Jesus was sleeping. How come he was sleeping? Because he wasn't worried. He wasn't anxious. He knew God was with him. And all the disciples were fearing for their lives with their waves crashing against their boat. This is what it says. Matthew 8, 26. It's in your notes. He says, you of what? Little faith. Why are you so afraid? Then he got up and he rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. And then another situation is when Peter, he started to sink after he got out of the boat. Imagine, he got out of the boat, he saw Jesus, and he did the probably greatest miracle anyone ever saw. He walked on water. Has anyone walked on water before? Imagine, he was already walking on the water. And suddenly, he started to lose faith. And Matthew 14, 31, it says there, immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. And he says to Peter, you of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? We got to kick doubt out of the door. Don't let doubt enter in, because you know what? Doubt can steal you of the great blessings that God wants to put in your life. Because you start doubting, you know, the devil, he's going to load your mind with doubt. And the promises of God may not come forth because you started to doubt. Don't doubt God. What you know he says he will do in your life, he will bring it to come to pass. You must believe it. You must take hold of it. You must trust in it. And another situation is when the disciples couldn't drive out the demon out of a boy. And guess who does it? Jesus does, right? Look what it says in Matthew 17, 20. It says here, then the disciples came to Jesus in private and asked, hey, why couldn't we drive it out? And Jesus replied, because you have so little faith. Truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. And Jesus says, we must have faith. You know, I was reading all this, and this really caused me to think about where my faith in God stands. Because what do I really believe God can and will do? Because I have to ask myself, do I live out my faith in such a way that inspires others? You know, people see that I have faith and they go, oh, Pastor Ben, look at his faith. Oh, man, I know God will see me through whatever I have going in my life. Or do they look at me and go, oh, Pastor Ben, he's trembling. He's shaking in his boots. I think I'm a little worried too now, but the pastor is worried. Oh, I'm worried too. For all of us, we are being watched by the world. And we got to show them that we have great faith. That we know that God will always see us through. We know that God will never disappoint us. And you know, the best leaders, I got to tell you, that I've met, they have such awesome faith. Man, those are the people you want to hang around with because it just goes on you. You know, it just rubs off on you and you go, wow, my faith is increased after I talk with them. And you know, they aren't always right, right? But you know, they don't always have the answers, but they always believe that God will come through for them. There's no doubt. they say, God will see me through. And a great leader will always direct people back to God. That's what it's all about. It's not about that person drawing people to themselves. It's about drawing them to God. A good leader will say, look to God. Because sometimes, you know, people, they get a little bit cocky and say, yeah, look to me. I got the answer. Yeah, just follow me. I'll make sure you're going to do fine. No, a great godly leader will always say, no, don't look at me. Look to God. And then when they look to God, they will know that God's power will come forth. Now I want to tell you about this man who fell into a hole and he couldn't get himself out of this hole. You know, a Christian Scientology member, right, told him, you think you've fallen into a hole. Because that was about the mind, right? The Christian scientist, right? A Pharisee passed by and told him, oh, only bad people fall into holes. And a fundamentalist, with basic teachings of Christianity, right, would say, you deserve to have fallen into that hole. Whereas a charismatic believer told him, just positively profess that you are no longer in that hole. And then a Methodist told him, I brought you some food and water since you're down in that hole. And a Presbyterian told him, hey, you were destined to fall into that hole. An optimist passed by, and told him, oh, worse things could have happened than falling into a hole. Then a pessimist came by and told him, you think that hole is bad? Just wait till you see what else is going to happen to you. An empathetic person then passed by and says, I really feel for you down in that hole. Then a self-esteem therapist told him, oh, just believe in yourself and you can get out of that hole. And then Jesus passed by. You know what he says? He sees the man. You know what he says? Not a single word. He just extended his hand and lifted him out of the pit. See the point I'm trying to say here? Sometimes as leaders, you know, we try to give all the counsel, all the wisdom that we can come forth in helping this person. When God says, hey, just help him out. Pull him out. A godly leader will take action. You see what I'm trying to say here? A godly leader will not just say, okay, I pray for you. Hope things get better. When this person could help them in some way, a godly leader will say, come on, come out. Let me help you out. That's what we're all called to do. As a godly leader, we are to help one another out. And the best leaders will always direct people to the hand of Jesus and realize sometimes, you know what? That very hand of Jesus is our own hands. You see that? Because we can say, oh, Jesus, go save them, Jesus. And Jesus said, yeah, I'll save them. Stretch out your hand. And as we stretch out our hand, we realize our hand represents the very hand of Jesus Christ. And as we do what the Lord tells us, you're going to see a miracle happen. A miracle will take forth in that person's life because you just show them God's power in you. Amen?
Amen.
Well, number two here. Look what it says here. Godly leaders learn to be creative in getting through their problems. Creative. And you know, if you're a godly leader, a great godly leader, you don't let a problem prevent your organization in moving forward. And I'm talking about your family or whatever too, you know. If you see a problem, keep going. Don't stop. Just keep asking the Lord, what am I going to do next? Because just because something has blocked your path doesn't mean you have to stop. You got to go to the Lord and he will give you creative ways to keep on going. And you're going to realize, man, what I'm able to do is not my own skills. How I'm going to get out of this mess is actually through the power of God. You got to give God the glory, not your own efforts. You say, thank you, Lord, that I know I can do what I can do because of you. It's always giving the glory back to God. Because a great godly leader, they will come up with new, improved, fresh ideas that will propel them forward. And they will keep on going with the Lord. And they will realize that it is not their own doing. Because you ever experienced that? Where you're stuck in a bind and you don't know what to do. Maybe in situations where your car gets stuck. You know? And I remember one time I was with John Lee and I was still dating her at that time. And we got a flat tire. I never changed a tire in my life. I didn't even know how to get the tire out, you know, because it was under my SUV. I had no idea. And guess what? When I was out there, it started to rain. I was thinking, man, I'm looking bad in front of this woman here. You know, I'm just dating her. Thinking, oh, this guy, you don't know how to change a tire. And I tell you, I started praying. I said, Lord, I don't know how to change this tire. We're stuck here. I'm going to tell you, you know, either you believe me or not. But it's just like, my hand just started to move. I just, looking at the tire, how am I going to get that tire out? I'm not kidding you. My hand just started. I see, the tire's coming down. And then I go, okay, now I'm going to change the tire. Lord, tell me how to change this tire. And I was kind of fumbling with it. And sooner than I thought, I don't know what I was doing. I was getting wet, but in a matter of like 10, 15 minutes, that tire was changed. You know what? You got to believe this. God will enable you to do great and mighty things. You trust in Him, He will see you through. He'll give you direction. He'll give you instruction. And the only thing you can do is praise you. God, He's given us abilities to do great and mighty things. Look what it says here in Exodus 30 to 35. In the case of the Israelites, okay? Look what it says here. Then Moses said to the Israelites, see, the Lord has chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and He has filled him with the Spirit of God, with wisdom, with understanding, with knowledge, and with, look what it says there, all kinds of skills. When you're filled with the Spirit of God, let me tell you, you got the skills. You got all kinds of skills. That's what the Bible says. To make artistic designs for work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood and engage in all kinds of artistic crafts. And He's given both him and Oholiab, son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, the ability to teach others. He has filled them with skill to do all kinds of works as engravers, designers, embroiderers in blue, purple, and scarlet and yarn, and fine linen and weavers, all of them skilled workers and designers. So where does the skill come from what we just read here? From God. You believe in God, God's going to give you kind of skills that is going to knock your socks off.
Cool.
You're going to realize, how did I do this? I tell you, when you are in tune with God's voice, you're always trusting Him, you're always walking with Him, you're going to find yourself doing things that you thought you had no ability to do. Suddenly you're doing it, and you're doing it excellently. And the only thing you can say is, praise you, God. Because when a godly leader can recognize that his skills are truly a gift from God, guess what? The challenges may come, but he says, okay, come on, challenges, I'm going to knock you out. These challenges are not going to stay there. The godly leader will say, okay, with God, I'm going to go right through them. And you're going to find ways through the wisdom of God, through the power of God, to get through it. And you know, the godly leader will meet them head on, and he will use his creativity in using his God-given talents to achieve what is impossible in the eyes of man. And the men that are witnessing this, they go, how do you do that? Right? And the only thing you can say is, my Father God did it through me. Look what it says here in Proverbs 22:29. It says here, do you see a man skillful in his work? He will stand before who? Kings. He will not stand before obscure or unknown men. And I want you to really, really try to understand this verse here. Because if you're so skillful, you're going to create things that are what? Mediocre? No, you're going to create things that are excellent. And it's so excellent. I mean, kings will want to see what you made. Kings will want to see what your skill is all about. Not obscure men. Unknown man. No, you're going to be presenting your work to the King of Kings. You're going to present it to our Lord God. And everyone's going to take notice, man, you got the skills. And it's only because we have faith in Jesus Christ. And we got to realize we're not going to let blocks, obstacles, stop us from moving forward with God. And we got to learn to be creative. We always got to be willing to go out and explore. Don't always keep on saying, oh, I don't know if I can do that. I don't got skills. Oh, I'm not very talented. There's much, not much I can do. No, no, don't ask me to lead a Bible study group. That's what these are things I said. I'm too shy. No, I can't do it. No, no, go find somebody else. You know, and we say these things, and God says, I've chosen you. You know, you probably heard of Joyce Brothers. She's a well-known psychologist. I think it was in the 1990s. And this is what she says. She says, the most important way parents can help children be creative is to teach them not to fear failure. And she says, to be creative, people need to explore and try new things. And she says, also, children need to learn to tolerate being laughed at. Creative people are willing to risk criticism and aren't afraid to be different. I have to tell you, when I read that, I realized a lot of Christians, you know, they go, I don't know what my skill is. I don't have any talent. I don't know what it is, Pastor. And I kind of realized, even for myself, the reason why I didn't know, because I'm not willing to try. I'm always giving excuses. I say, oh, I'm not good at anything. Oh, I'm just going to fail. No, I'm not going to do a great job. And God says, no, but you don't understand. This is a gift that you have inside of you. You got to let it out. And we realize, instead of saying, oh, I can't, say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You got to move with that. You got to realize it's God that will enable you. Don't worry about what people say. You just do it. God, He will take over. Amen? Amen? And you know the trap that a lot of parents fall into? You know what they do? And especially, I got to tell you, I think it's true of mostly Asian families. They kind of overstress success. You know, I come from, you know, a Chinese family. I remember my mom always saying, Dad, you got to do good in school. You don't do good, nobody going to like you. You know, you're going to fail. You got to be doctor or lawyer or something like that. I never became a doctor or lawyer. I praise God for what I'm doing, you know. But you know, a lot of times, you know, they say, ah, you got to do well. You got to go beyond the mountain. And I just remember reading about this book was written by this Chinese woman, and it's talking about tiger moms. And you read that one, Sonia? And you know what? She actually said about this time where the mom saw her test. She got an A-. And the mom said, you got an A-. What's wrong with you? Shame on you. We worked so hard. You got an A-. Oh, shame. Oh, I got to wear a paper bag over my head. You got A-. We do that. You know, sometimes we overstress success. We don't need to do that. You know, and because of that, you know, the child says, you know what? I got to perform 100% all the time, or my mom or dad's going to eat me up. And you know, she says, children whose parents have emphasized achievement over exploration are more inclined to try only things that they do well. And says, these activities make them feel secure in their abilities, but it won't lead to fulfilling successes. And you got to encourage our children to go out there and explore. Because, you know, when they go out, they're going to realize, wow, I didn't know I could do this. And they realize it is a gift from God. You got to encourage our children. Don't say, oh, okay, you only can do the very things that make you look good and things that you only can excel in. No, tell your child, go out there and explore. Check it out. See what God has given you as talents. Now I've got to tell you about this young couple. They started their own business. And he was an engineer and she was an advertising copywriter. Okay? And they decided, okay, they wound up buying this small salmon cannery in Alaska. And they soon discovered, though, they had a problem. They said customers were opening the can of salmon and discovered that the fish was gray in color. And so the sales just sagged, you know. I mean, nobody wanted to buy their salmon. And you know, after an investigation was done, they discovered the problem was a result as how the fish was processed. And so the wife said to the husband, hey, this is a technical problem. You're an engineer. You have to find a way to fix this. We got gray fish. So the husband, he looked into it, and a month later, the husband announced that they would have to replace some machinery and make some other changes. It was going to take at least 10 months to do the job, and it was going to cost a lot of money. And the wife says, oh, we got to do something sooner than that, or we're going to go under. And so for the next 2 days, she kind of pondered about the problem, and she came up with a solution. You gotta understand, there was nothing wrong with the salmon. The salmon was of excellent quality. It tasted fine. But you know what she realized? The problem lay in the looks. Not the looks of the fish, the looks of the can. You know what she did? She changed the label on the can. In bold letters, right under the brand name, the labels thereafter announced, we have the only salmon guaranteed not to turn pink in the can. Guess what happened? Their sales soared sky high. Is that being creative? And you know what? Instead of hitting a roadblock and go, boom, oh, I don't know what to do. You say, Lord, give me ideas. Show me what to do. Lord, speak to me. And you know, this woman, I don't know if she was a Christian or not, but you know, instead of being stopped, where are we? Okay, we give up already. Oh, no can do nothing. You know, as Christians, you go to God. God, do you believe our God is creative, God? Well, just look at what He's created. You look outside. He's pretty creative, don't you think? You go to Him about it, He's going to give you more than just creative ideas. He's going to show you, I mean, things that you would never imagine. I mean, you know it's not your own. You know God will enable you. God will see you through it. Amen? Amen. Well, number three here. It says, great leaders insist on healthy relationships that are productive. And you got to realize, you know, Jesus, He teaches us to love who? Our neighbor, right? Everyone. But you know what? Jesus also shows us the importance of investing a little more time and effort in a selected few people in our life. And I want you to understand, this would definitely include all our family members, your spouse and your children. You know, God wants us to speak into their lives. But I'm talking more about, like, you know, your acquaintances, your friends, you know, at school, at church, at work. You know, God would may tell you to select a few people that you can minister to, that you can mentor, you know. And I gotta tell you, we see this with Jesus. Jesus modeled this with who? His 12 disciples. Jesus was honest with His disciples. He confronted them. He made expectations clear. And He spoke the truth. Always in love. And He challenged them. You go out there and you bear fruit. You go out there and you show the power of God. Look what it says here in Matthew 10:1 and 5-8. It says here, Jesus called His 12 disciples together and gave them authority. He gave them the authority to do what He can do, to cast out evil spirits and to heal every kind of disease and illness. Jesus sent out the 12 apostles with these instructions. Don't go to the Gentiles or the Samaritans, but only to the people of Israel, God's lost sheep. Go announce to them that the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Oh. Cure those with leprosy and cast out demons. Give as freely as you have received. You see, these are the things that He Himself did. He's saying, you go out. You have the power. It's not your own. It's God's power in you. That's what a godly leader will do. Instead of trying to do it all himself, He says, no, you guys go out. And we realize in order to have a healthy relationship with others, we first got to be healthy. And I'm talking about mentally, spiritually, and emotionally. We got to make sure we're tight with God. We're in the Word of God so that our minds are always clear. Our spirits are always risen up. And you know what? A godly leader, you know, nobody's perfect, right? But a godly leader will always be truthful of their faults. You know, they're authentic. And they always have the mentality, it's always more blessed to give than to receive. Got to have that mentality. You got to say, yeah, I want to help people. I want to give of myself, give of my time to others. And healthy relationships are honest. They have a deep, genuine care for other people. And great leaders don't settle for friendships that get stuck or stagnant. And then when I read that, I was thinking, well, just think about this. Do you have any friends that, you know, you might have had like really close relationship? You always talk for hours and you always were close. You're like brothers or like sisters. And now it's like you call them, you know, maybe first like once every month, then once every 5 or 6 months, once every year, Christmas time. And then now it's like once every 3 years. You guys, you know what I'm talking about. I have situations like that, I gotta be honest with you. And you gotta realize godly leaders, they value these kinds of relationships. They don't allow them to get stagnant, or maybe it's something that was said about you, you know, from a friend, you say, oh man, I'm not gonna talk to this person. A godly leader will not allow that to happen. They say, you know what, I'm gonna make it right with this person right now. I don't want to get stuck here. And they want it to move on. They do not allow it to get stagnant. Stagnant means not moving, right? You got to keep it moving, amen? You got to realize these friendships that God's given you, who is it from? God. So, hey, make the most of it. You know, just think about it. I want you to just think about it. A friend or two right now that you haven't talked for, let's say, 5 years. Go home and call them up, okay? Or email them or whatever, right? I mean, it means a lot. I really believe that. And, you know, these godly leaders, they pursue growth, and they have this iron, sharp, iron mentality. They have this kind of love in them that they realize this, it is so important. Look what it says here in Proverbs 27:17. It says, iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Isn't that true? Only an iron can sharpen an iron. So is it with believers. Only a believer can sharpen another believer. You have to be a believer. Because if you just go to someone who's not in the Word, doesn't know God, they might sharpen you in the wrong way. You know? You got to be sharpened with the Word of God. Amen? And you got to be encouraged with the Word of God. And I read this article, and I was so amused by this. The author writes, these are the most important words that you can use in getting along with people. And he says, the six most important words that you must use in getting along with people is six words, right? I admit I made a mistake. Sometimes you don't want to say, oh, I was wrong. So you're wrong, right? And we got to say it. Sometimes it has to be said. Otherwise, nobody wants to back off. Everyone just say, hey, no, it's your fault. The five most important words, you did a good job. You gotta be willing to praise others. Hey, such a great! I thank you for making my coffee this morning. That was such delicious coffee. You know, and we gotta be willing to do that. You gotta praise people. You did such a good job. The four most important words. What do you think? Because a lot of times, well, my idea is the best. I don't need to hear what you think. Oh, just go with my idea. No, we gotta go out there as a godly leader and say, what do you think? Tell me, what do you think we should do about this? People will value your friendship when you do that. The three most important words, after you please. A lot of times it's like, I'm going first. Let me go first. Oh, what free stuff? Okay, I'm gonna be the first. No, after you first. Right? You ever seen like situations where people are in a rush and the door is kind of narrow and they're like stuck in the door, you know? Hey, let me go! You know? And, oh, after you first. Right? We gotta do that. We gotta say, no, you go first. It's okay. You know, sometimes you see like the elderly person in back of you, you're standing in line at the grocery store. I'll do this. Sometimes, oh, you know what? Go ahead. You know, and they might have a cart load of stuff, but I realize they're kind of struggling, you know? I said, oh, you go first. You know? No, it's okay. The two most important words. What do you think it is?
Thank you.
Oh, you got it, sister. Thank you. Thank you for that. Yes, we got to say thank you. We don't say thank you enough. Because a lot of times, you know, and I realize, I sometimes, you know, you have family members helping us out all the time. I don't realize, I realize sometimes I don't say thank you enough to John Lee or my kids. You know, they bring things to me and, oh, okay. You know, and I should be saying thank you more. We take that for granted sometimes, you know. And the one most important word, what is it?
We.
Oh,
We're like, yeah, we got to, you know, because a lot of times you say, yeah, I did it. I take all the credit, man. I put so much hard work in that. Yeah, it's really, I did it all. Yeah. No, you got to say, we did it together, and I praise God for you, man. You really helped me so much. We did it. And I praise God that you're on my team. I praise God that we get to do it together. Use the word be more often. So you know what the least most important word is then? I. You got it. The least most important word, according to what the Bible tells us, is I. It's not about me, myself, and I. You got to realize it's about we. That, you know what? Whether there it concerns other people around you or you and God. You and God makes a we. You and God doesn't make you an I, right? Because if you always say, it's I that did it, you know what? You only will go so far. I got to tell you, you won't get very far in life. Because it's always about I did it. I was the one. No, you say we. Whether it be the people around you or you and God. Amen?
Amen.
Well, number four here. It says, great leaders know when to push. Right in that blank, push. And when to back off. And I got to tell you, no one likes an intense leader. But you know what? All leaders must exert leadership intensity. What I mean by that, because think about it, it's a leader, right, that is always intense, you know, they're always in somebody's face. You ever had a boss or a manager? I had, you know, they're like, Ben, hope you're not working hard enough, Ben, get over there, look, somebody needs a, Ben, I'm like getting shaky every time, Ben, when I hear Ben, I'm like, you ever had someone like, oh man, so intense, right? I mean, you know, sometimes we need leaders like that to get us moving, get us shaking, get us going, right? But sometimes when the person is so intense and you just can't handle it, you get stressed out. And you know, I remember there was one manager that I had a long time ago, always barking orders at me, do this, do that, right? And what I realized, instead of being such an intense leader, we gotta be a leader that exerts leadership intensity. What does that mean? Be a leader that is always involved in another person's life. Not in your face, but involved in the person's life. And you can really tell a good godly leader that, you know, instead of just barking orders, say, you know what, how are you doing today? Oh, I heard something happen, you know. How can I help you? You know, that person is so involved. You know, the people under this person, they know that they have a genuine care. So whatever this leader says, they say, let me be the first to go there and try to help out the situation. Because they see the leader really cares about them. So instead of being in the face all the time, be what? Involved. You see what I'm saying? And this is what the Holy Spirit is speaking to all of us. We got to be involved in other people's lives. If you want people to follow you, you got to show them that you really care. Because you got to think about this. Anyone who is intense all the time is too much to take. And what we see of this is a lot of people, they end up not liking them, and they resist their leadership. You ever seen that? People who are so intense, right? They say, I'm not going to listen to that person. They're stressing me out. I'm not going to listen.
They don't take their medication.
that's the thing, right? You realize people sometimes, they got problems too. Sometimes that's why they're so intense, because they may be experiencing stress at home. But look what it says here in 1 Peter 5, 1 to 3. This is the Apostle Peter. This is what he says. He says, now I have something to say to the elders in your group. He says, I am also an elder. I have seen Christ's sufferings, and I will share in the glory that will be shown to us. He tells them, I beg you to shepherd God's flock for whom you are responsible. Watch over them because you want to, not because you are forced to. That is how God wants it. Do it because you are happy to serve, not because you want money. This is what he tells the elders. Do not be like a ruler over your people that you are responsible for, but be what? Good examples to them. And you know, whatever situation it is, right, it's about not about
being a ruler. It's not you saying, I'm in authority, you got to listen to me. No, it says, be an example to them. Show them that you have the love of God in you. Show them that you have patience with them because you love them. You know what I'm saying? And that's where you're going to see how people, they're going to respond to that. People are going to say, yeah, I see this person genuinely cares about me. Instead of telling them, you got to do this, you got to do that. It's just like, you know, it's just like cutting like a knife. And Peter says to the elders, no, be examples, good examples to them. Because a wise leader knows how to turn up the intensity at the right time then, and when to back off to let people breathe. They're not always in their pace. Just think about this. A race car driver. Just think about this. If they constantly floor the accelerator and they, you know, like the pedal to the metal, they call it, right? And they say, let's just say, they decide, I'm not going to take my foot off there. I'm going to full pressure all the way down, pedal to the metal. Guess what's going to happen? They're going to end up in the wall sooner than you think because they're going to stress themselves out. They're going to stress out everybody else, right? And, you know, great drivers know when to let up. And they know sometimes they got to take that foot off the gas pedal. They got to slow it down, put their foot on the brake, and just let God take over. Because you know what? If we're always so intense, you know, people, they're not going to listen to these leaders. But we realize the best of leaders know how to push others to excel with what? Words of encouragement. Positive words. We got to edify each other, the Bible says. Not shut them down. We got to lift them up. Amen? Use words that will edify. You know, there's this saying, you know what it says? It says, flatter me, and I may not believe you. Criticize me, I may not like you. Ignore me, and I may not forgive you. Encourage me, and I will not forget you. Powerful, yeah? When I read that, I go, well, isn't that true? Just think about the last time someone encouraged you. I remember people encouraged me in my life when I felt like I couldn't do anything, when I felt like my life was going nowhere. People encouraged me. And suddenly, it's just like a ray of sunshine, a ray of hope just came. And I lifted my head up and said, yes, I can do it because God will give me the strength. And that's what we need to do, encourage each other like that. Because people who are constantly showered with positive words are more than likely to be loyal and dedicated to their leaders. They're always going to be the first one to say, yeah, you know what? Let me be the one to help y'all. They're going to be the first one at your door to want to help you. You know, a contributor to the Reader's Digest, this is what she wrote. She said, one morning I opened the door to get the newspaper and was surprised to see a strange little dog with our paper in his mouth. She says, delighted with this unexpected delivery service, I fed him some treats. And she says, the following morning, I was horrified to see the same dog sitting in front of our door, wagging his tail, surrounded by 8 newspapers. And she said, I spent the rest of the morning returning the papers to my neighbors. And you know, I was kind of reading that, and we realized, as human beings, you know what those treats are for us? Words of encouragement. Positive words. Just think about the last time when someone said something, I mean, you knew it was genuine, it was from the heart. Just, ooh, it touched your soul. And no matter what you was going through in your life, suddenly you felt like power had come forth. You felt like, yes, there is hope. Yes, it's going to get better. And that's what it is. Just words. You know, the Bible tells us your words, your very own words have the power over what? Life and death. Speak life, man. Speak life to one another. Not death. Speak words that lift each other up. Because that's what we need. Look what it says in Ecclesiastes 10:12. It says, the words of a wise man's mouth win him favor, but the lips of a fool consume him. Think about that. The words of a wise man's mouth, because the words coming out are all wise, right? Because you're a wise man, you speak wise words, right? Guess what? He's going to win favor from who? From people around him and from God. because he's speaking things that are positive. But it says the lips of a fool will consume him. What does it mean to be consumed? To be eaten up, right? It says the fool's lips will consume him. Because you know what? Everyone will just talk bad about this person. Everyone will say, yeah, look at this person. You know, he's saying all these bad things. And realize everyone else is saying bad things about this person. These words from this fool, you know, will consume this very person. That's why we gotta ask the Lord, say, Lord, what can I say to people that will edify them, bring them up? You know, because that's what it's all about. The Bible clearly tells us, it's spoken many a time. The Apostle Paul says, edify one another. Edify means to build up, to lift up, not bring down. Number five here, it says, godly leaders have settled their call. Godly leaders have settled their call. And you know, with godly leaders, they know without a doubt what their calling is. And they have accepted their calling. And they're willing to live it out to its fullest potential with total surrender to God. Because a lot of times, you know, if you don't know what your calling is, people say, well, why should I want to excel anyway? You know, this thing. I don't know if it's my calling. Well, you're going to know. I mean, there are times where you're going to see God working in your life. And like I mentioned earlier, you know, suddenly these skills start to appear. And if you're always hesitant, you're always kind of fearful, you say, oh, I'm going to fail. I don't know if I really can. You know what? You'll never bring it to its fullest potential. You got to go with God and say, Lord, I can see, Lord, you're doing something through me. This thing that I was never able to do, Lord, I believe it is you. And you guys heard my testimony many times. You know, the very fact that I'm standing right here, it's a miracle. Guess what my number one fear was? Like maybe like 10, 15 years ago. Public speaking. I said, no way. I said, you know, I mean, I remember people telling me, Ben, I think God's calling you to the ministry. I said, no, don't say that. Man, I get nervous talking in front of people. Man, don't say that. I'll scrub the toilets in the church. I think that's what God wants me to do. You know, I'll do whatever God wants me to do. Just pastor thing? No, don't say that. Because I'm fearful, you know, of public speaking. I think, you know, that I might faint if I talk in front of two people. And you know what? I realize only God can do it through me. I heard the calling from God. I said, Lord, if this is you, I trust in you. You're going to do it through me. I'm not going to fear. I'm not going to doubt. I had to come to a point where I settled it with God. And I said, Lord, it's not me, but it's all you. And God came through. He showed me that I will speak through you. I will show you what you must do. Because the most important thing about this is when you come to this point, you got to realize you've got to be committed. And you realize that this calling is not from man. It's from God. Once you know what your calling is, you cannot get to that point again where you say, oh, I don't know if that, no, you got to say, no, Lord, you said it, you called me, I'm going to give my 110%. I'll give my all unto you. Because when your call is settled, it's settled. Because there's a rest and a peace in your mind and your soul. You know who you are and whom you belong to. And you're going to say, Lord, let's go. You know, it's always like, Lord, okay, you go. You go first, Lord. Because I don't know what to do. A lot of times, I even, you know, like on these Sundays, I'd be honest with you, sometimes I'm like, oh, okay. You know, even though, you know, we've been doing this for like, what, 5, 6 years? Man, I always say, oh, Lord, Holy Spirit, come. Oh, speak through me, Lord, because I still don't know what to do. And you just say, Lord, you do it. And He always does. It's settled in my heart that I know God is going to show up every time. I come up here, I know it's the Holy Spirit in me. Johnny will tell you, she first met me, I was shy, quiet, looking to the ground all the time. I mean, I lacked self-confidence, I lacked self-esteem. Man, it's only God that can do it. Amen?
Pastor Ben, Joel Osteen said the same exact thing. He said when his father died, he, he was in behind the scenes of everything. He said he never could ever think about speaking in front of people. And look where he's at now.
Praise God. Praise God. And you know, so was the case of the prophet Jeremiah. Look in your notes. Jeremiah 1, 4 to 10. This is what the prophet Jeremiah says. He says, "The Lord gave me this message." This is a message to Jeremiah. God says to him, "I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations." When did he appoint this? Before he was born. Huh? And he says, "Oh, sovereign Lord," I said, "I can't speak for you. I'm too young." And the Lord replied, "Don't say I'm too young, for you must go wherever I send you, and you must say whatever I tell you. And don't be afraid of the people, for I will be with you, and I will protect you. I, the Lord, have spoken." Then the Lord reached out and touched my mouth and said, "Look, I have put my words in your mouth. Today I appoint you to stand up against nations and kingdoms. Some of you must uproot and tear down, destroy and overthrow. Others you must build up and plant." And you see, all of us, we have a calling. And if you don't know what your calling is, you don't know what that gift is. Remember what I said earlier? You got to go out there, you got to explore. When you see it, keep moving forward. None of this, "I can't do it anymore" attitude. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Keep moving in that spirit. Keep moving forward with God. And you know, the Apostle Paul, he also stressed this point to all believers that, you know what he's saying to us? That we all individually have been called to do specific mighty works unto God. Because he's given us unique talents and giftings. You know, you may have this gift, another person may not have it. But you must go out there. You gotta go with confidence and just do it. Amen? And you will see what God will do through you. Look what he says in Ephesians 4, 1 to 3, the Apostle Paul. He says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do what?
Good works,
which God prepared in advance for us to do." We are God's handiwork. And you realize God, he created us to be the person that we are called to be. And he prepared for us to do great and mighty things. And you know what? You just got to keep moving forward with God and it will come. Believe me, brothers and sisters, it will come. Just keep moving forward with God. I got to tell you about this king. He's King Henry III in the 11th century. And he was a king of Bavaria. And, you know, did you know it came to a point, for those of you that are history buffs, right? There came a point where he grew tired of court life and the pressures of being a monarch. He says, "I'm tired of being the king already." And you know what he did? True story now. He made an application to Friar Richard. And he's a monk at a local monastery. And he asked this monk that he wanted to be accepted as a contemplative. You know what a contemplative is? A person who just sits in a monastery and just meditates all day long. Maybe they'll eat and go, you know, take care of, you know, business in the restroom and stuff like that. But it's constant just meditation. That's a contemplative. And he tells the monk, "I want to spend the rest of my life in a monastery." Imagine, he's a king now. And so Friar Richard says, "Your Majesty, do you understand that the pledge here is one of obedience and dedication? You must take this very seriously, but that will be hard because you have been a king." And you know what King Henry says? He says, "I understand that, but I gotta tell you, for the rest of my life, I will be obedient to you, Friar Richard, as Christ leads you." That's what he says. And then you know what Friar Richard says? "Okay, if that's the case, I'll tell you what to do then." He says, "Go back to your throne and serve faithfully in the place where God has put you." That's what he tells him. You know what he does? He goes back. And when King Henry died, a statement was written. It says, "The king learned to rule by being obedient." And you know, there are times, you think about it, we get tired in our roles, you know, of our responsibilities. And we gotta stop and realize and remember that God has planted us in a certain place and told us, you know, to be a good teacher, a good accountant, a good mother or father, a good leader in the church, whatever it is, God says, no, I want you to be right here. Because sometimes we think, oh, I got to make major changes in my life before good things start to happen. No, God says, I've got your special gifts and talents already inside of you. You just got to let it come out. You got to believe that you are a godly leader in the community, that I called you to be right where you are. And we got to realize that Christ expects us to be faithful where he puts us. When he returns, that's when we're going to root together with him. Amen? But for now, use the gifts that he's given you to the best of your ability. What do I mean by that? You got to trust in him. You got to believe in him. It's not your own abilities. It's God's special giftings in you that will come forth as you trust in him. Amen? As you believe in him. And here's the bottom line verse. Look what it says in Ephesians 2:10. This is the Apostle Paul talking. He says, therefore I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling. For you have been called by God. You have been called by God. To do what? To always be what? Humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. And you realize there's a difference between these verses and the previous two verses, you know, with Jeremiah and with Paul. You know what that difference is? Because with those verses in Jeremiah and in Ephesians, as Paul says that we are God's handiwork, you know what they're about? They're about what we're called to do. See that? They're about what we're called to do. Because even Paul says we are called to do good works and to the Lord. But with this verse, the second verse, is what we're called to be. When you accepted Jesus Christ into your life, into your heart, you knew that you got to die to yourself. Every day Jesus says, you follow after me. You say you're a follower of Christ. You must deny yourself and pick up the cross daily. And we realize it's what we're called to be. But you got to understand this. In order to do what you're called to do, you got to be what you are in God. That's the only way. You can't do what God calls you to do unless you are actually the very person that God wants you to be. And you know that Jesus Christ is in you. Amen? You know the Holy Spirit is in you. And you know that there's nothing impossible with God. And we realize with all these characteristics that I just went over with, the only way we can do this, because we can't just go, okay, now I know what to do. Oh, okay, you know what? You may last for, I don't know, a week or two. But if you are not of Christ, if you're not like Jesus Christ, because it's about what you are called to be, remember that, that you will then will be able to do what you're called to do. Does that make sense? I'm not confusing you. That's the only way. Be what you're called to be. And you're going to see great and mighty things that you'll be able to do through the power of God. I want to conclude by showing you this video. You know, and it's a clip from Undercover Boss. And this boss, he's a Christian boss. And I gotta tell you, it's powerful. It's about 5 minutes long. I want you to watch it. Benson, can you go ahead and play that?
Baja Fresh is one of the leading Mexican restaurant chains in America, with 400 locations in nearly 30 states. David Kim is the CEO. And he runs this $300 million business from this cubicle.
Mostly what we've done in the past is take companies that were struggling financially and actually turning them around.
David and his investment group run several companies. His ability to turn around struggling businesses led some to call him an empire builder.
I seem to get a lot of requests from people that can't make the companies work.
David Kim is the son of a South Korean diplomat who was forced to flee the country with his family. They migrated to the United States, where they sold goods at flea markets to survive.
I felt really bad for my parents having to have a very prestigious life as a diplomat to come to the United States and give everything up and have to start all over again.
Right here.
His parents' sacrifice still reminds David of the importance of family He and his wife, Jane, have 3 children.
It's not about turning companies around anymore. That's not where I define my successes. Of course, success comes from making sure that your children, the next generation, does better than you do, and they become productive citizens.
That keeps Kim busy at home and on the job. And it was a private journey until he agreed to share his life on CBS's Undercover Boss, the hit reality show that disguises CEOs so they can work alongside unsuspecting employees and learn their jobs.
Dear Lord, while Appa goes on this trip, keep him safe, watch over him.
My family and I, we pray. My kids pray more than I do, but it's natural for us to pray.
With that prayer, Kim became Ken, a reality show contestant competing for a job with Baja Fresh while the cameras rolled.
Ephraim, I didn't want to do the show. I actually turned it down several times. I wanted to continuously keep the privacy of my family and our life.
Have a safe trip.
Bye, Dad.
David and his family waved goodbye to privacy when the show aired. Their lives touched millions, especially when a 20-year-old immigrant told David how he lived with his uncle so he could work and send money home to his mother.
So do you have a family?
I have 2 sisters and 3 brothers, and I'm the oldest.
You're the oldest?
Yeah, so kind of like the burden of the family is like on my shoulders.
The unforgettable and unscripted moment happened here, right outside this Baja Fresh restaurant in Cypress, California. David Kim sat down here on the sidewalk to have a conversation with employee Anthony Abby Newman. It was a conversation that ended with a poignant prayer.
Anthony, is it okay that we pray for one another? Right after the show, it's the amount of people that we got in the thousands, tens of thousands of people who emailed us, wrote us, talking about finally somebody can come on national television, on prime time, and have the courage and the boldness to talk about Christ. And to be honest, all I did is pray for a man.
Thousands of letters, but one overriding message.
Dear Mr. Kim, I've never written a letter in my life for any reason, good or bad. After watching Undercover Boss tonight, I was moved to do so.
Today I watched the Undercover Boss show that featured your company. I admire who you are, a superb son, father, and most of all, an incredible CEO.
I too am a Christian, and my favorite part of the show tonight was when you and one of your employees shared a quiet prayer together. That made me want to write to you and say thank you for reminding me that life is about God, family, and strong faith.
The show also inspired Baja Fresh employee Anthony Abby Newman. He's a bit of a celebrity now at his restaurant.
It just shows that if you believe in God, and God can move in different ways and you don't expect. You know, I never thought that I'd be in a show.
You fully obey the Lord your God and.
Back at the Kim house, the show is an answer to prayer for David's wife, Jane. It was an opportunity for her children to see faith in action as powerfully as she did as a child.
I've been always grateful for the missionary who came to our country, our very primitive country, and sacrificed their lives and really talk about gospel. That is the thing that I'm most indebted to.
The Kim family now uses the spotlight on their family to remind American Christians of the darkness and oppression in North Korea. Ephraim Graham, CBN News, Orange County, California.
Praise God. And, you know, I know that the title of the show is Undercover Boss, but you look at that guy, he's an exposed godly leader. You can see the heart of Christ in him. I gotta tell you something else too. You know that young man? You know at the end, right? Remember I told you the boss reveals who he is? Well, he talks to this young man. He says, I'm buying you a franchise to this company. So this young man, he owns one of the Baja Fresh.
Is that a reward or what? How can you explain that? You know, God, He can do whatever He wants. You live according to the Word of God. You do it God's way. God makes miracles happen in your life because He loves you. Our part is pretty simple. We just trust Him in all things. We love Him with our whole hearts. And God says, here's my hand. Here's my hand. I want you to take a hold of it and walk with me throughout your life here on this planet Earth and on to eternity. That's what God does. Simply because He loves us. Amen?
Amen.
Why don't we go ahead and bow our hearts before our Father God. Father in heaven, we thank You, Lord, for the message spoken today. And Father, we know, Lord, nothing is impossible with You. And as we know, we are all called to be godly leaders. As we do as You say, as we don't question You, as we say, Lord, You're telling me to move, I'm moving, I'm flying, I'm going, Lord, I'm trusting in You. We know You can take us so far, Father. We know, Father, that as we hold on to Your hand, You will only lead us to greater and greater things. We know there will be a shower of blessings in our lives as we say, Lord, not my life anymore. It's all Yours. It belongs to You, Father. And then and only then can we see the miracles that will take place. And right now, with all our heads bowed, with our eyes closed, you may be saying, you know what? I sense the Holy Spirit is speaking to me right now. And you may say, you know what? I realize those times when I could have let my faith shine. Instead of doing that, I doubted. Instead, I started looking at just my own abilities. And I said to myself, no, I can't do it. No, there's no way that I could do what God's called me to do. But now you realize from the very words of God, we know it's not about our own abilities. It's about the ability that God gives us. As we discover what it is, God will take us so far. And if you know the Holy Spirit is speaking to you and you're saying, you know what? I'm going to trust in God. I'm not going to say those words anymore. I can't. That will be no longer a part of my vocabulary. Instead, I will say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I know, God, He will show me the way. Lord, will You take my life? Take my heart. Lead the way. If this is the cry of your heart to God, can you raise your hand right now and say, that's me. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Say, Lord, show me the way. Lead me, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Anyone else? Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. All right, you put your hands down. Why don't we pray? Father in heaven, we thank You, Lord, for the message spoken today. And I ask You now, Lord, as we know our lives belong to You, help us not to doubt anymore, Lord, but to trust in You. Father, for those that have raised your hand, I just pray right now in the name of Jesus Christ, let Your holy presence just fall upon all my brothers and sisters right here, right now. Let them know that as You empower them, there is nothing that is impossible. That as You move through their lives, they will see the miracles that will happen. They will see Your power being displayed. And they will know it comes from You. Father, I just pray as You fill everyone else up with more of You. I pray we're going to keep our heads up high. We're going to look to You in everything. And we know, Father, people, the world around us will truly know that God is alive in us. We praise You, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Now, for some of you, maybe say, you know, Pastor Ben, I've heard people talking about having a relationship with God, with His Son, Jesus Christ. What must I do? How do I get started in something like this? Well, you can start off by praying a simple prayer. But this simple prayer must come from your heart, from your soul. It's a crying out to God. You're saying, Lord, I want to do it Your way. I tried it my way and it seems I keep hitting a wall. Father, I want to live according to Your word, according to Your precepts, according to what You called me to do. And you
say, Lord, I surrender. I say yes to your son, Jesus Christ. This is the cry of your heart. You're saying yes to Jesus. Can you raise your hand right now and say, that's me. I say yes to him. I submit to him. I give all of me unto him. Praise God. Praise God. Anyone else? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Can you put your hands down? Praise the Lord. Won't you repeat after me? Won't we all say together as a family, is professing what we believe about our Lord Jesus Christ. Just repeat after me. Say, Father God.
Father God.
I need you.
I need you.
I give you praise for who you are.
I
believe in you.
I
believe in your son Jesus Christ.
Who died for me on the cross.
But on the third day.
He rose again.
And he lives in my heart. I give you praise for that. And Father God. I confess that I'm a sinner. But your word says. If I confess of my sins, you're faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Cleanse me now, Lord. Make me holy and pure unto you. So now I say this so you can hear me, Father God. So that everyone can hear me. So that I can hear myself. And so that the devil can hear me. Jesus Christ is my Lord. I live for him. I live for him only. Father God, write my name in your book of life. For I give you praise. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone says, Amen. That's all.